for Don and Margaret. Their story began in the 1950s. If you can imagine with me for a moment, it's 1956, and Don sees Margaret, has an interest in her, and in his mind he says, this is definitely something I have interest in. The only problem is Margaret's been raised by her aunt, and her aunt finds out that he has interest in her, and so the aunt says to Don, do you have a serious interest in my niece? He said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And so all of a sudden, Don realized that he's on a radar screen. He said, well, let me give you a little clear insight. If you can't come to church, you can't be near her. Well, you can imagine how staggered he was by that thought, but the truth of the matter is that those two lived 59 years together. God did an amazing thing, and I want to bring their story to light today because what you discover in life is that God orders every step, He numbers every day. And what happens to us is He goes before us, and He goes ahead of us. He walks beside us, and He speaks to us even in the night watches. For Don and Margaret, they find themselves at 84 and 80 years old battling different illnesses. Their ailments had taken them in and out of hospitals for a number of months and over a year. But for both of them living in Salisbury, North Carolina, they had family that loved them. They had friends who cared about them. They had a hope that rested in Christ. And so as a result, they would often find themselves one or the other in a hospital. And if the husband was in a hospital, Don was in a hospital, his wife would go at 4 a.m. and stay till 9 p.m., making sure every need was met. Well, on August 19th, as Don was battling pulmonary fibrosis and double pneumonia, and Margaret was battling cancer, they found themselves in a hospital on two different floors. Being separated was creating more anxiety because they'd spent their whole lives together. But both of them in different ICU units weren't allowed to be moved until finally the daughter convinced the hospital that some things are more important than medical care and their parents' love for each other is most important. So for the doctors and nurses, they began to maneuver and began to work. They began to break protocol. They began to arrange for Don and Margaret to be together. For Don and Margaret, it would be the three most beautiful days of their lives. On the 19th of August, they found themselves in the same room, being able, with all of the machinery connected to them, to hold hands. And from the 19th of August to the 22nd of August, they held hands. And on the same day, they both went into eternity. For their children, they knew that He had gone before them, that the Lord had set in motion everything. And I read their story, and as you read their story, you realize something, that when somebody realizes what Christ can do, it changes everything about their entire life. And so, imagine for a moment, it's 7:58 a.m. on August 22nd, and Margaret passes into eternity. But for Don, he doesn't stop holding her hand until 5:19 that night. His wife, in the midst of her battle, made several statements to him because they used the same terminology with each other. They each called the other darling. And in the midst of those days, at one point when she was coming in and out of consciousness, she said to her husband, come on, let's go now. Now, you realize very quickly that there was a love there, there was a bond there that set in motion their entire life story. But for Don and for Margaret, a year before they passed, he began to record everything that he wanted his family to remember. In his passing, his daughter went to their home, and in their home, she picked up what was his personal record book, the notes that had been most meaningful to him and to her in the midst of their battle of life and death. And it's interesting because in that particular journal, she started thumbing through because she had recorded most of the words written there. She found a page, though, a page that had been written by Don to his family. Listen to what he wrote. To my family, I love you all. Please don't mourn for me at my death. Have a service of praise and thanks. My faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, not only in my earthly life, but throughout eternity. Love, Daddy. My greatest desire is that all of you believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son and receive His gift of forgiveness from sin. Now, written in cursive, with an 84-year-old hand, but clear and precise, communicating a clear, distinctive message. And when you read their story, you realize this is an amazing story of two people who found themselves never separated in life. And it's interesting what Don said to his daughter. In between the morning and the evening, he looked at his daughter and he said these words: "We had one honeymoon here. We'll have another honeymoon there." And I want you to think about it for a moment. Only God would welcome two in that have loved each other throughout a lifetime into His house at the same on the same day in the same way. But here's what you discover: it is the same God who says to us today, as we look at His Word, it is the same God that beyond anything you could ever ask or think, that I will do for you. You see, the reality is, as I read this story, and to be honest with you, when I read it the first time, I cried because I have been married a long time. And the most dreadful day of my life is the day that one of us will be separated. It's the most dreadful. And I read this and I thought, oh Lord, maybe Cindy and I could do the same thing. Maybe we could just exit out at the same moment. And as I read this story, it reminded me of what Paul must have felt. He loved people. He loved those at Ephesus. He wanted them to have grace. He wanted them to know that by grace you're saved. He wanted them to have hope. He wanted them to have purpose in life. And today, as you think about it, we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 3, and we find ourselves in the synopsis of everything he said in this third chapter is wrapped together in the last few verses. Look at it with me, if you would, because as you turn there, you begin to realize something. You begin to realize that God's in control of everything. For Don and Margaret, he had a perfect plan. Now, not all people get to do that. Most people have to walk through the valley by themselves and have to weep like many of our fellowship, even in this very room. But for each one of us, we realize something, that God is in control of everything. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we find ourselves at this text that leads us to a moment of communion in a moment. Because I want you to see what he said. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him, watch this, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I want you to think about what he says here for a moment, because here's what he gets across to it. His love reaches down into us in such a profound way that we come to the place where we realize we can ask him for anything. We can trust him in all things. And today, as you think about that in your own journey of faith, what would it be like that if you realize, just like Don and Margaret were holding their hands, you realize that God is holding your hand? I mean, think about it for a moment. Think about the grip of God. It's not reduced by any problem, any issue. It's powerful and strong. And I'm going to tell you what you discover today. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to hold your hand. And he wants to make sure that you realize that when he holds your hand, nobody can snatch you out of his hand. What a wonderful thought today as we think about that in our own lives. Because here he talks about something. And you realize, if you go back to verse 16, you see something. Because in the 16th verse, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Which tells you something. Everything he's up to, people don't see, he sees. What's inside of you, he does something profoundly powerful inside of who you are. And when he starts working inside you, it's the inner man that he transformed. That's why he says, you can't figure out how wide it is. You can't figure out how long it is. You can't figure out how deep it is. You can't ever figure it out. You just accept it as being something that changes your life forever. And so you think about this and you realize that here, what we discover is he says it before us and ahead of us. He moves into our lives. And I'm going to tell you, here's what you discover. You begin to realize he is literally in control of every single thing. And can you imagine, think about it for a moment. Can you imagine what life would be like if his control superseded everything else that you face in life? If all of a sudden you began to say, you know what, Lord, I yield control to you. I let you be in control no matter what. Most of us in here either have on our phones or we have in our cars people who talk to us and tell us where to go. You probably have had one of those navigation kind of tools or map kind of app. Recently, I was headed somewhere and the map was telling me the direct wrong way to go. And I'm sitting there going, I know it's that way. I know it. But it kept saying, do a U-turn, do a U-turn, do a U-turn. And I kept thinking, we are not U-turning when we're going the right way. And here's what I want you to see. Here's what happens to Paul. Paul starts talking to him, and some of the Ephesians had started U-turning. They had started going back to something that would not get them where God wanted them to go. And listen, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in our culture. Our culture is trying to U-turn away from Jesus, U-turn away from God, U-turn away from His plan, U-turn away from His purpose for our nation. Listen carefully. When you U-turn away from what His Word says, you are in for a wreck. We have to be wise. We have to be wise. That's why when we commune together, we come with a very clear recognition in our own hearts and life that the GPS we follow is written in this book. Amen. And by the way, He never gives wrong instructions. He always orders the steps of the righteous. He always tells you where you're supposed to go, when you're supposed to go there, how you're supposed to get there. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. You start following those steps, it will guide you all the way through. All the way through. And so here he begins to open up to them what in verse 20 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I mean, don't you love the fact that God can say to you, you can think it, you can ask it, but beyond everything you ever imagined, I'm going to bring something to you. I'm going to tell you, He's done that for me. He has brought into my life the richness of amazing friends. He's brought into my life the blessing of a fantastic church. He's brought into my life a future that is so beautiful. And when I think about it, you know what? It's beyond anything I could ever ask or think. This past week, Cindy and I celebrated 20 years living in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can remember 1996, the year we moved here. We had come to the Olympic Games, and I can remember it so vividly because we came and we were staying with some friends in Alpharetta, and we were driving downtown. We put our name in to get 5 different events, the Olympics. I thought we'd get maybe 2 or 3. We got all 5, and so we drove back and forth. The traffic was not bad at all. I mean, there was no traffic, as a matter of fact. It was like driving like everything had already happened, and everybody was up in heaven. So it's like, I was like, wow, this is fantastic. And so, I'll never forget, a few weeks later, we end up back here, and we end up living in Atlanta. And I'll never forget this, because we came on a weekend to look for homes, and so on the weekend, traffic not near as bad either. So on that Saturday, Sunday, that weekend, we found the right home we wanted to live in, and so we bought it, and it was 17 stoplights, 32 miles from downtown church. I can remember it vividly. And I'll never forget this, because Dr. Stanley at the time said, he looked at me and said, now, son, do you realize how far that is? I said, I can pray all the way. Let me tell you, about 2 years in, my prayer life was ruined because it was the hardest time ever trying to drive all those lights. I can't imagine what it's like now from where we live. But I can remember thinking, I gauged the traffic during the Olympics. When the news people and everyone else told every one of you that lived here at that time, don't get on the road. So the only people on the road were people with tags from Arkansas and other places like that. And we were all waving at everybody. Hey, how you doing from Tennessee? How you doing from other places? There were no Georgia tags on there. But I'm going to tell you what I discovered. You better be careful to assess and gauge how your life is unfolding, not based in your assessment, but based in His. Amen. And that's what the Bible does for us. So He does 3 things for us before we come to the table. The first thing I want you to see is this. Look, if you would, at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And the word dwell there has to do with permanent residence. In other words, it is where you are for good. And if you walk into my house and saw my basement, you'd know we live in a permanent residence because I never want to move that stuff again. It's all down there. And recently I was talking to one of my children and I said, you know, I am sentimental. I've kept a lot of stuff, of which none of you are sentimental. So I have all this stuff, and I try to figure out, and I go down, and it's funny, because I looked at her, and I said, you know what, I'm going to throw away your school books. I'm getting rid of all those school books. Don't you throw those books away. I might want them. Let me tell you, there's a big difference between might and will. All right? We might want to be a certain way, but will we actually be there? And here's what happened. When we get a permanent residence, it gives you security. It gives you security that you're able to feel like you are at home. And I'm going to tell you what he says here. That when he gets in your heart, notice how he says it. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That he can live there forever. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. We all, yes, we do have temporary residence dependent on eternity. But while we're here, what he says is the most beautiful place that you ever live is in Christ. Because you can live in 20 different homes. But living in Jesus is the most permanent. And I'm going to tell you something about permanence that's powerful. Powerful. How thankful I am that Don wrote in his personal record book. He recorded those words that Christ is his story. That's his permanent record. That has something carries on and everyone with him. It's very interesting. His grandsons talked about his impact on them. And his grandson said this, when my grandfather walked into any restaurant, he would always ask three questions. What's your name? Where do you live? And where do you go to church? And you know, what's interesting is, until he had those answers, he was not interested in what he was going to eat. And wouldn't it be cool if you and I started to learn how to ask, what's your name? Where do you live? Where do you go to church? And I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful about it. But what he makes a statement here, you got a permanent resident. And I'm going to tell you what's cool about that is, you never have to look up the address. You never have to look up the address. It's written for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in him, because he's got many places prepared just for you. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I can only imagine. Every once in a while I do this. And now, Lord, when I get to heaven, make sure my house is at a particular place so I can have a certain view. And I want to be able to really enjoy. And I want to see certain people. I wouldn't mind if you wouldn't mind. Abraham could live near me. And I could talk to him a little bit more. I'd like to know a little bit what happened all during those days. I wouldn't mind at all having the Apostle Paul near me. I don't want him to try to teach me theology, but I want a chance to interact with him. You know, and you start thinking, man, think about how powerful it is when heaven becomes a part of your story. And that's why in this very room, I look across this room, there's so many whose loved ones have gone in and seen the face of Jesus already. I'm going to tell you what's assuring to you and me. He says, when your heart, by faith, rests in him, something happens. It's amazing. That's the second thing that happens, though. Not only does he give us permanent residence, but he goes into the deepest places of our heart. I want you to see this, because this is the kind of love that Don and Margaret had. Look at it with me if you would. And that you being rooted, verse 17, latter part, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Now, I want you to think of this for a moment. All of a sudden, you start feeling how deep that love is. Let me tell you what's cool about this love. This is not a love that is fleeting and momentary. This is not puppy love that passes by in a moment. This is the kind of love that's the purest kind of love you could ever get, because it comes from God. And imagine for a moment, if you're here and you start thinking, wait a minute now, I'm loved by God more than anyone. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Because I asked that question, if you let his control supersede everything, here's what happened to you. When his love supersedes everything, then you know he's in control of all things. And he watches over everything you're about. And what you discover in your own life is this, that when he is in the deepest place of your heart, he changes and shapes everything. He directs your steps. He allows you to understand what he wants to do. And he does something amazing inside of your heart. And so, think about today for a moment. You have a place that's permanent. In other words, you don't have to worry about changing addresses. You don't have to do any address change forms. You don't have to alert the post office. When you leave here, you are with him forever. But he comes into the deepest place in your heart. And I love how Paul describes, because here's what he was saying. Surface love can't take you where God wants you to go. In other words, it can't be a minimal love that is just what you anchor yourself into in order to function. It is a deep love that does everything inside of you and changes your whole world. But then he gives one other thought that is really powerful. So first of all, we have permanent residence. Then we have the depth in our hearts that only God could do. And then the third thing you see is it talks about his love, because here, what is the true impact of the love of God? Because that's why we come to this table. He died for us. That's a pretty powerful impact. But what is the true impact? What does it all represent? Look if you would. In verse 19, he goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you, watch this, may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, if you think about that for a moment, have you ever had a meal that when you finished, you just said to yourself, I'm completely full. And it wouldn't matter what it was, but you had a certain appetite, you ate a certain thing, and you got done, you said, you know what? I'm full. And I'm going to tell you what Paul says here. When you come to the table of Jesus, he fills you up completely. Isn't that a great thought? That you experience his fullness. So imagine today, here's what you think about. I find myself looking at a table, and I wonder, what is this table all about? And that's why we come into this service, to be able to discover what it is that God would have us to do. And he ends in verse 20, says, beyond anything we could ask or think. And as I was writing this message, I began to think about prayers we ought to pray. And I wrote down three very simple, powerful thoughts that I hope will help you. First of all, God, grant me wisdom to always trust you beyond sight. Grant me the wisdom not to look at things that my eyes see, but look at things that my heart see. You see, if you only look at what your eyes see, you'll miss what it is God has for you. And what is wisdom? And watch this carefully. The reason I use that word is I probably had 7 or 8 dialogues in the last 10 days with people who, when their emotions ruled, the wisdom waned. And what you discover is this: beyond anything you feel, the wisdom of God begins to rest on you. And you don't have to figure it all. You don't know what it all means. You say, Lord, I see it, that I can trust you. And then you quit worrying about it. A second prayer that I wrote down that I thought was so important when we get ready to come to this table is, God, let your love fill my heart to overflowing. There's something about that overflowing love that's powerful. Happened to me yesterday on the sidewalk of the Georgia Tech football game. It was so cool. My son-in-law didn't like it, but I loved it. I was going to sit up with my buddy Russ and Elliot and Nora and Eddie were going the other way. So we walked hand in hand, just like Donna and Margaret did. Nora and I walked all the way across the road. We got the other side. And she looks up at me with the purest eyes and says, Gaga, I want to go with you. And I looked at her. I said, I don't have a ticket. And it's so funny because my son-in-law said, Nora, you got to go with me. And so he starts dragging her. And, you know, she's not no short little thing. She got those long legs. And every step she took, she was doing like this. She was fighting every step. Now, I don't know how far she went before she quit, but it was the most precious time for me, because I'm going to tell you what I felt. Overflowing love. Overflowing love. And what you discover in life is this. Here's what happens to you. Sometimes, watch this. You want to go one way, but he grabs hold of your hand and takes you right where he wants you to go. And that's that overflow. Lord, grant me that kind of love that's overflowing. One final prayer that we pray before we come to this table, and it has to do with you and I letting his grace guide my life. I'm going to tell you, I have lived a lot of years, and I've known people who were bound up with rules, and I've known people who were anchored in grace. And I'm going to tell you what I pray. God, let my life be guided by grace. I'm going to tell you, you want to be a great teenager? Let grace rest on you. You want to be a great adult? Let grace rest on you. I'm going to tell you what you discover. Let grace get a hold of you, it changes your entire life. And then you're able to go, you know what? I've got a great life. I've got a great life. And if you were wise today, you'll underline certain words in this text that we looked at. Because when you get to the phrase, he is able. He is able. I'm going to tell you, whether you're in a balcony or downstairs, when you come to the realization that he is able, all of your life changes. Because then you're anchored beyond what you see in the grace that you stand in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing moment we had to look inside your word. Thank you for the testimony of two who on August 22nd saw your face. A few hours between, but both were welcomed into eternity. Lord, thank you that today we come to this table, not by accident. We come by divine design by you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would make this a powerful and meaningful time for every person here. We bless you, Lord, because this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we trust in it. In Christ's name, amen.